The Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Narrated by Mark Arrieta. Authorized English Translation. Edited and annotated by Friedrich Engels. Manifesto of the Communist Party by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. A specter is haunting Europe, the specter of communism. All the powers of old Europe have entered into a holy alliance to exorcise this specter. Pope and Tsar, Metternich and Guizot, French radicals, and German police spies. Where is the party in opposition that has not been decried as communistic by its opponents in power? Where the opposition that has not hurled back the branding reproach of communism against the more advanced opposition parties, as well as against its reactionary adversaries? Two things result from this fact. 1. Communism is already acknowledged by all European powers to be in itself a power. 2. It is high time that communists should openly, in the face of the whole world, publish their views, their aims, their tendencies, and meet this nursery tale of the specter of communism with a manifesto of the party itself. To this end, the communists of various nationalities have assembled in London and sketched the following manifesto to be published in the English, French, German, Italian, Flemish, and Danish languages. Preface. The manifesto was published as the platform of the Communist League, a working men's association, first exclusively German, later on international and under the political conditions of the continent before 1848, unavoidably a secret society. At a Congress of the League held in London in November 1847, Marx and Engels were commissioned to prepare for publication a complete theoretical and practical party program. Drawn up in German in January 1848, the manuscript was sent to the printer in London a few weeks before the French Revolution of February 24. A French translation was brought out in Paris shortly before the insurrection of June 1848. The first English translation, by Miss Helen McFarlane, appeared in George Julian Harney's Red publication, London 1850. A Danish and Polish edition had also been published. The defeat of the Parisian insurrection of June 1848, the first great battle between proletariat and bourgeoisie, drove again into the background, for a time, the social and political aspirations of the European working class. Thenceforth, the struggle for supremacy was again, as it had been before the Revolution of February, solely between the different sections of the propertied class. The working class was reduced to a fight for political elbow room, and to the position of extreme wing of the middle-class radicals. Wherever independent proletarian movements continued to show signs of life, they were ruthlessly hunted down. Thus, the Prussian police hunted out the central board of the Communist League, then located in Cologne. The members were arrested, and, after 18 months' imprisonment, they were tried in October 1852. This celebrated Cologne communist trial lasted from October 4th till November 12th. 7 of the prisoners were sentenced to terms of imprisonment in a fortress, varying from 3 to 6 years. Immediately after the sentence, the League was formally dissolved by the remaining members. As to the manifesto, it seemed thenceforth to be doomed to oblivion. When the European working class had recovered sufficient strength for another attack on the ruling classes, the International Working Men's Association sprang up. But this association, formed with the express aim of welding into one body the whole militant proletariat of Europe and America, could not at once proclaim the principles laid down in the manifesto. The International was bound to have a program broad enough to be acceptable by the English trades unions, to the followers of Proudhon in France, Belgium, Italy, and Spain, and to the Lassalleans in Germany. Marx, who drew up this program to the satisfaction of all parties, entirely trusted to the intellectual development of the working class, which was sure to result from the combined action and mutual discussion. The very events and vicissitudes of the struggle against capital, the defeats even more than the victories, could not help bringing home to men's minds the insufficiency of their various favorite nostrums, and preparing the way for a more complete insight into the true conditions of working class emancipation.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?